Do chemtrails, or some call it geoengineering, exist? And if so, how would you describe them?
Chemtrails are another strand in the tapestry. On one level, they are putting metals and potential diseases into the atmosphere, which are then breathed in by the population. So here we are, we're back to depopulation, we're back to this war on the human immune system and human health. But they also contain nanotechnology. And nanotechnology can be breathed in. I mean, it's well beyond the ability of human sight to see, but these chemtrails have been analyzed and nanotechnology is there. And one of the expressions of the nanotechnology is what we call Morgellons disease, which is where people around the world have this disease, which began in the same time period, it would seem, as chemtrails, where they find strands of material in the body, which are not known to the human body, and where they can be pulled out, but then they just grow again. They are some kind of synthetic genetic material, and it seems to me that there's a very good chance that what people with Morgellons are those whose immune system is trying to reject the invasion. A very good chance that's what it is, because clearly it's not only Morgellons people who are breathing this stuff in. In my book Phantom Self, I go into this area in considerable detail. This nanotechnology in chemtrails is part, and I would say a very fundamental part, of the mutation of the human race into something very different to what it has been up to this point. And I would say that the chapter I do on that in Phantom Self is, without doubt in my mind, the most important chapter I've ever written in any book anywhere. Because if
Wow.
we don't get that, then we're going to be in big trouble, because there's
Yeah.
something going on that's much, much deeper than even the great majority in the alternative media understand is or appreciate is going on. The time will have to come when the alternative media has to start casting aside its own bubbles and realize that what is happening and the scale of it and the organization of it and the knowledge behind it is not the work only of what we call human beings.
Please share your thoughts, David, about the environment and the current weather conditions.
Well, there's two things, you see, about the environment. When people like me challenge the hoax of human-caused climate change, you get accused of not caring about the environment. I've cared about the environment all my life. I was in the Green Party for years, back in the 1980s. As I've already indicated, we live in a toxic world that has been systematically made toxic because of this agenda. I was in a supermarket 2 or 3 years ago, and I went in there to look at ingredients in various things for research for one of the books I was doing. And I found this bottle which told me that, you know, if I swallow any of this stuff, then basically it's very dangerous and I should do this, that, the other, and everything. And I was holding a bottle of washing up liquid. So everywhere you see this toxicity. And GMO is also a form of toxicity and demands catastrophic toxicity in support of its process through herbicides and pesticides. So I'm fundamentally against the toxification of the environment. I'm fundamentally against pollution. But what's happened is that pollution has been pulled in seamlessly to include carbon dioxide, which is a gas without which there would be no life on Earth. It's the gas of life. And this is where you mean. I see. You notice when they're doing reports on global warming, they'll show you toxicity in China and smog and smoke and all that stuff. But what's coming out of this technology and cars and all this stuff is carbon monoxide, which is very, very bad. And of course, what they've done is tried to sell people diesel fueled cars to fight global warming, and of course what diesel cars do is put out particulates that are very, very, very dangerous to health when you breathe them in. So if we're going to understand the global warming scam, we need to see the difference between carbon dioxide, the vast overwhelming majority of which is natural to the environment, and pollution. But what they've done is equate pollution with carbon dioxide, thus the gas of life becomes a gas of potential death. Did I mention inversion? And so I'm very, very much in favor of detoxification of the environment, but with that rider about carbon dioxide. And in terms of weather conditions, what another thing people who haven't researched this need to appreciate is how easy it is to change the weather. They've been doing this since at least the middle part of the 20th century, at least, and it goes on further. And of course, it's become more and more sophisticated. So if you want, I mean, you know, there are United States military documents talking about use of the weather as a weapon of war, and if you want to bring a country to its knees, you can do it through extremes of weather. You can do it through engineered earthquakes, so it's like being light on your feet. It's not that you see a conspiracy everywhere, but you question everything, and you ask the question: who benefits? Who benefits from this war? Who benefits from GMO? Who benefits from this weather disaster? And do you know, I put this in one of my books a few years ago. There was a film producer in New Zealand who was researching a film, and he found himself in the government library, basically. And on the desk where he was, he saw this document which someone had put out for filing. And he started reading it. And it was a document detailing experiments during World War II of exploding bombs under the sea off New Zealand to create a tsunami as a weapon of war. Now, that was in the that was during World War II that this was talking about. And for instance, I've never believed that the tsunami that led to Fukushima, which who benefits anyone that wants to massively irradiate the global environment, which is what this agenda does, but that tsunami was naturally caused. I do not believe it. And you know, this is why the more that you can focus people's attention in the bubble, the more you can do what the hell you like without being questioned or challenged, because people will not have the breadth of sense of the possible to question what you say. Well, they can create tsunamis, don't be stupid. Well, how do you know they can't? Well, exactly. And so things like hurricanes and vast rains, etc., droughts, are so easy now to create. And then you have the added bonus of being able to say, yeah, look, it's global warming. And, you know, there is this technology, and it's not just in Alaska now. They've got versions of it around the world, which is called HAARP. Basically, heats and manipulates the ionosphere in the upper atmosphere, which can do many, many things, including cause earthquakes. But one of the things that one of the people that wrote the patents for this HAARP technology in Alaska was called Bernard Eastland, and he quoted Nikola Tesla in some of these documents. And Tesla was a man for whom we can thank for much of the current human electrical system, but he understood the nature of vibration. He understood the nature of energy, how everything was energy in different forms. And once you realize that, and these people in the shadows do, they just don't want us to believe it. That's why Tesla ended up dying penniless and alone in a New York hotel room in 1943. You can do many things, endless things, once you know that, and you can manipulate reality on a vibrational frequency, energetic level that would seem impossible to people that don't realize that level of reality exists. And one of the things that he, that Bernard Eastland has said, he's dead now, about the potential of HAARP is that it could steer the jet stream. And when you look at the weather extremes that we've had in Europe, particularly in Britain, in the last few years in terms of rain, and the droughts in California and the southern states, what the weather people have blamed them on is the strange behavior of the jet stream, these streams of air currents, mostly from west to east, which bring weather across America and into Europe. And if you can manipulate them, then you manipulate the weather that they produce and where they produce it. And when you look at the way the jet streams have acted so strangely in recent years, and the impact they have had on the weather as a result in America and Europe, And you then see that the technology to, quote, steer the jet stream was introduced in the 1990s, just when these strange effects on the jet stream started to be documented. Then, you put the dots together and you can see that we are now well past the point where weather and weather extremes can only be blamed on, quote, natural sources. That
Right.
doesn't mean that all weather is manipulated, of course not. But
No.
again, ask the question when the
Yeah.
weather has a massive impact in some form, who benefits from this impact?